This morning we're reading from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless?
Thank you. So last week after the third service, I had noted a scripture passage in my outline last week. While I was preaching, he was on his cell phone beaming up the Bible, and he stopped me afterwards and he said, Pastor, I don't think that's the right verse that you have in the Bible. I was looking for it, and of course, as soon as I got to my office, I looked it up, and he was exactly right. I wasn't even in the right book last week. It happens sometimes. So here we are at three. We need to seek out good advice. The verse I had wrong was the godly verse. It is Proverbs 12:26. The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray. And we know that's true, don't we? So, all right, correct that. Write that down. I think we even posted it on the website. If people don't get it, then I'll do a little video and we'll put that on the website. Maybe people are watching. I got a note from the Northeast about being on live stream and the great worship experience and the time in God's Word. So we're reaching out a little bit farther than Squim. Okay, today, what are you assured of in your faith? And what kind of conviction do you bring to your faith? This is my last installment on faith, and I want to raise perhaps a more difficult question with you. And that is it's one thing to have a faith in our mind, even in our heart and soul. But are we keeping that to ourselves? Is that more of a thinking belief, or is that more an acting belief, an active faith? Well, when it comes to active faith, there's a couple of very good scriptures to look at. Number one is Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Uh-oh. I thought this relationship with Jesus was all about grace. I didn't think it was about works. Well, I think there's a logical conclusion to our faith. And that is we need to live it out. And here the writer of Hebrews makes that clear. Don't think you're pleasing God if you don't have an active faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now here the reward is that you find Jesus, that you find salvation, that now you're on the road to eternity. But our faith, our eternity, is not just about what is up ahead. It's what we're experiencing right now. Didn't Jesus say, the kingdom of God is at hand? And what was he saying? God is working. God is doing something right now. Right now. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourself. Ooh, that's always hard. Now, I don't know how you are about yourself, but I usually test pretty hard on myself. I see all that's not going on, and I don't necessarily celebrate everything good that's going on. And part of that is just having an athletic background. You know, you're only good as however you scored last week. The only people getting up and getting trophies and medals and ribbons are the ones that are placing out of everyone else. And if you have that kind of a background, you learn very quickly. If you want the ribbons, the medals, the trophies, you better work very hard. Very hard. You better test yourself as you move forward in life. And I don't think we like tests. We hate quizzes even more than that. Yet I think it's a great challenge to us. Let's look at our life and let's see whether our faith has some action to it that pleases God. So number one, faith is more than what you say. What good is it, James says, dear brothers and sisters, you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions. Can that kind of faith save anyone? Now here James is not talking about the great theological construct of salvation. He's talking about the day-to-day living out of our faith. And so if there isn't some results in our faith, results inside of us, results that go through us and out to other people, well, is that really any good? Does that mean that our faith is just some good words? Good words only don't please God. Now, good words please God, but good works, good words and good works, now that pleases God. The way we usually say it is, we have to what? Walk the talk. We have to walk the talk. Are we concerned about whether we're walking the talk or not? And usually if we're concerned, that means we're most likely engaged in our faith. We're looking for opportunities to serve other people. See, we're connecting and we're growing, and we know whether we're growing or not by how many people are serving. Time, talent, treasure, and touch. Are we going across the street? Are we willing to go to the other side of the world? Those are direct implications of our faith. And those prove out that we're walking the talk. I had the pleasure, now it's probably over a year ago, to be a part of someone being sworn into a legal office. And to my surprise, they asked me to not only come and pray, and I get asked to pray at a lot of different things, and that's awesome. But they asked me to not only pray, but then say something. Give a small sermon in front of everyone else. And so I prayed, and I had a pretty good idea of what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say. And I said all that. And the third point that I made, of course, I'm a Presbyterian, got to have 3 points, right? And my third point was I looked at everybody that was in front of me, and I said, this person right here, he's the real stuff. He's living out what you want him to live out in his office. He's the real deal, I said. Why? He's got great integrity. Why? He's a person that is very bright, understands what he's supposed to do, and he's after it. He's after it. Does that mean he's perfect? No. Does that mean that any of us are perfect? No. But it is one thing to say something, and at times, it's a whole other thing to live that out, to be the real deal, to get on the edge of your faith and have God lead you, even push you in a direction. Oh, that scares me. That's uncomfortable. I don't feel equipped to do that. Well, if our desire ultimately is to please God, and I think it is, then it really is okay. Keep speaking. Please keep speaking. But walk the talk. James says, be careful if you're not walking the talk. Number two, it's more than how I feel. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or any clothing. What good does that do? What good does that do? Now, most of the time, our mind rushes to what I would call the exceptional circumstance. And that's a person that's, on a street corner asking for money. One of the things I'll tell you is give your money to the Squim Community Aid. Don't give it to them. You know why I say that? Because I know where that money's going. 99.9 times out of 100, and it's not for food. It's not for clothing. I didn't realize the implication of all that till I went with Pastor Tony Toth down to Mexico, and he said, don't ever give these ladies with little babies on the corner any money. I said, well, why? They're in need. He says, because they're being pimped out by someone else. They don't see that money. That money is given to someone else that's forcing them to be on the corner. He said, if you want to help them, give them a bag of oranges. Give them some actual food. And I don't know about you, but I've had that experience. I'm walking down Hollywood Boulevard, making my way down to a meeting. A guy comes up to me and he says, I'm hungry. I need some money. And I said, hey, great, you're hungry? Yeah. Well, let's go right down here to this diner. And the guy that owns it, I know pretty well. And he'll let me take you in there, sit you down. You eat what you want to eat. And then when I come back from my meeting, I'll pay for your lunch. I'll pay for your lunch. And, we're walking along, and pretty quickly, he stops. Well, I don't like the food in that restaurant. You don't like the food in that restaurant? No, I don't like the food on that end. Can't you just give me some money and let me be on my way? Oh, yeah, no. No, I'm not going to give you money. So that is the exception, but there's a lot of people around. A lot of opportunities if we're looking to love someone else in a very concrete way, even though we might not feel like it. Our faith is only in part about our feelings. Remember in the little piece of literature, it's the fact, faith, and feeling train. You remember that way back when? Yeah, a guy from Hollywood Press is the guy that put that together. And I remember looking at it when it was brand new. Look at the, oh, wow. Our faith is really facts. We don't know all the facts, so there's some faith involved in that, some trust in that. And then finally, there needs to be what? Action. Movement. Change. Expression. And I think I am like you. My faith in living it out is tested most when I don't feel very good. I don't feel like doing that. I had the flu really bad in my last church. I mean, it was awful. If I didn't have a pulpit to hang on to, I wasn't the main preacher. And when you're the substitute preacher, you better show up and have your A game in my church. And so I literally am barely making it. I'm holding on to the pulpit. I can barely remember what I said, and in between services, I relieved myself of any food that I had, and I had two more services to do. I can tell you what, I didn't feel like preaching one single bit. The only thing that was great about that is I had already, written my sermon. I was ready to go. I felt awful, terrible. So sometimes we don't feel like it. That's why you got to hang on to the facts. Jesus loves me. This I know for the, not the internet. You sure it's not the internet? The Bible tells me so. And when we're not really feeling like it, that's a great thing to hang on to. That is very empowering. It's very empowering to us. Sometimes the best work we do is when we're having a bad day. That ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Something really good, it shouldn't have gone that way. But it did. So faith is more than what we say. Faith is more than how we feel. And faith is more than just an intellectual pursuit. We're down to James 2:18. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Now, don't go crazy with that verse. Oh, see, it's works righteousness. It's not about God's grace. No. James is on to something important to say, but he's not trying to set up a whole theological matrix for your faith. He's sending his letter off to a real church that needs to get moving in the kingdom of God. They're really good at salvation by setting. Oh, wait. First, it's salvation by sitting. They're good at coming to worship. They come and sit. They love that setting, being in the church. Well, what happens when you go out the door? Is it just an intellectual pursuit? Or is there something more to it? Let's go to 19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. See, our faith is not just an intellectual pursuit. It ought to show up in visible ways. Yes, we ought to be compassionate. That's what I missed at point two. Loop back around and get you to there. It ought to show up in loving compassion towards other people. It ought to show up in real things that can be quantified. Oh, you mean my faith is about, it's not just a quality I have? You mean there's a behavior that goes along with my belief? Yes, even the demons believe that Jesus was God's son. And I often challenge us, you know, do you know the God you believe in? And if you know Jesus, then James' words ring true in your mind, heart, and soul. See, we can have a faith that we talk about, but we don't live it. We can have a faith, but it doesn't show up anything concrete like compassion towards another person. Yes, in part, it's an intellectual pursuit. I hope you understand your faith. You understand the Bible. Remember, it's about reading. It's about studying. It's about meditating. It's about memorizing. Number five is what? Applying it to your life. One author said, I think in most churches, this is a while back, you can just close up your Bibles. You don't need to learn one more verse. What you need to do is live out the verses you know. Yeah, there's something to that. There's something to that. And we know that when we're not living out our faith, well, our words are a little hollow. There's not a ring of sincerity in them. So, what kind of faith pleases God? The good thing is James answers that for us. 2:20. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good works is useless? Now, we know it's useless, isn't it? In fact, it's even wasted, so to speak, in us if it's not transforming our life. If it's not giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands and feet to care and comfort other people. If it's not impacting the priorities of your time, your money, your skills and abilities, and your touch ability to care and comfort other people, then it's reasonable for you to think, yeah, maybe I'm not as engaged with Jesus as I need to be. And if you are at that point, then maybe today is the day to make sure you're very engaged in Jesus. The great opportunity of transformation is God does change us eternally in an instant. But in our transformation, He begins to work on each and every element of who we are. I'll take you back to the fruit of the Spirit. He wants to transform us in all of those ways. Here's another verse that I think helps us frame what James says. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by God's grace, don't forget that. All of us former Catholics, don't forget that, right? It's by grace that we're in a relationship with God. It's through grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing, but it is God's gift. Oh, we're getting to the gift. Christmas is right around the corner starting next week, the greatest gift ever given. And in your union with Christ Jesus, He has created us for a life of doing what? Good works. He's created us to do that. If we get out of the way, you can't help but having some good works. He created us for a life of good works, which He has already prepared for us to do. So what is Paul saying to us in this Ephesians passage? I think two important things. Number one, the basis of our relationship with Jesus Christ is faith. The proof of our relationship with Jesus Christ is our what? Our good works. Yeah, the basis of our relationship with Jesus is faith in Him. His graceful initiative in our life. But He's done that to make a difference in us, and then use us to make a difference in other people. See, the proof is that you'll do some good works that you have never done before when you ask Jesus to be the leader of your life. Yeah, there are some things you'll jettison, some bad things you'll jettison, but you'll do some good things that you never thought you could do, that are very contrary to the way that I lived my life before I met Jesus. Good for you. Man, it ought to make a difference, a practical, visible, audible difference in your life. I want you to have strong faith. But if you have a faith that's not showing up in your works, well, that faith is not being put into action. We're not in a place where we have an assurance about what the future holds, a conviction of the things that we can't see. The purpose of the proof of being in relationship with Jesus Christ is to make a good difference, an eternal difference in each and every person we encounter. Let's pray together. Jesus, we're thankful that you allow us to be in a faith relationship with you. And I'm thankful that the basis of that relationship is all about what you've done, all about your love, all about your grace, all about your patience with us, your prompting of us. Jesus, you know where it's easy for us to prove out our relationship with you. But we also hear you calling us to something that's a little more challenging, a little more risky. Something that, well, it might even be a little uncomfortable for us. And what I love about your transforming Holy Spirit is that you don't leave us alone. That you keep coming back to where we need to grow, where we have opportunity to serve, to care, to help. As we leave today, Jesus, give us eyes to see, better eyes to see. Give us hearts to feel what other people are feeling. Give us hands and feet so that we might do something concrete. And sometimes it's just a little help, a little grace, a little effort. But Lord, sometimes you bring something, well, bigger than we are to us. So give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to feel, and hands and feet to make a difference. And we want to do all of that in your name, Jesus. And we pray, Amen.